hate. No hype. No fear. We are TFR. Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Angry Beaver Radio.
Hey.
Hey. We're on Angry Beaver Radio, and
awesome.
This is Daniel. We got Mike and Mark. Mike, you are online?
Yes, I'm online. Sorry, great. I was just okay. Glad to have you, Suzanne Posel, on the air here with us.
Of
hello, Occupy everyone.
Corporatism and U.S. Independent.
Yes, and crystalpurecbd.com, legacybionaturals.com.
Nice.
I also have a radio show, Hardline with Suzanne Posel on American Freedom Radio, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 p.m. Central.
Oh, awesome. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Suzanne, I thought the American Freedom Radio was having trouble there a while back. I thought it had shut down completely or something like that. Can you give us a little update on that for me as well as the others?
Yeah, they did. They did shut down for a while, but they're back up. And Vinny's back on American Freedom Radio. Freighter X is coming back. Chuck O'Chelly from UCY.TV is coming to AFR. My show is on there as well. I'm the only chick on the network.
Did someone else take over the network, or what happened there? Can you give us a brief update?
Danny Romero is back. He had a little personal difficulties, and so the radio station had to go down for a little while. But everything's back up. We've been up for the last 2.5 months. So if you go into the archives on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and check under Hardline, you'll see a massive amount of shows. If you want to go back and listen to stuff, incredible information, including all of the other hosts on the network. And we're building up. We're looking for more information, more evidence, more talk news radio that is something that you can actually learn from and gain some knowledge and make better decisions in your life. So we've got some incredible hosts coming on. We've got a credible host on there now, and I'm happy to be back on the air. You know, I wouldn't be with any other station. Danny Romero is one of the most incredible people. He's a veteran of independent news and alternative media. And he actually helped a lot of the people that we know and love get their start. Catherine Albrick and Webster Tarpley, just to name a few. Most of the people that we listen to, even Joyce Riley, of the Power Hour. He gave them their start. So to work with him, is an amazing, it's a gift, and I'm very gracious, very glad, very happy to work with him, and so I'm glad my show's back on the air and everybody is back on the air, and so please go listen. I think you'll be happy.
Yeah, would you what would you recommend if someone is thinking about joining a program on a major network. Would you have any advice, or would you encourage them to do so if they're really into the wanting the truth and to spread the truth? That would be a good way for them to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's an amazing thing to be on the radio. And when I first started doing interviews, I was scared. My first interview ever was on, with Joyce Riley, the Power Hour. And you couldn't get a bigger audience except for going on Jones, right? Mm. And I was absolutely terrified. If you can find that and listen to it, you'll crack up laughing. I was sitting, with 70 pages of notes I had studied for about a week. I was absolutely terrified. I think that, it's probably in history, probably the worst interview ever. So if you can find it, go listen to it. It's hilarious.
Go listen. You want us to go listen to it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because being on the radio and knowing that you're being heard by, you know, thousands of people or at least hundreds of people at a time going back in the archives, there's more and more people listening. It's a very intimidating thing, and it takes you a while. At least it took me a while to put that out of my mind and just have a conversation with the host, or if I was hosting my own show, having a conversation with the guest and forget that, oh, by the way, you know, a couple thousand people are listening to you, so watch what you say.
So Joyce Riley had you on the Power Hour through because she was on American Freedom Radio before? Is that how she met you, I guess? Oh.
No, she was on Genesis at the, you know, her show that's on Genesis. I had written some articles on the Lost Treaty, and she was very interested in that. And so she asked me to come on, and I was extremely nervous, like I said, and, you know, when you start doing interviews, you think, okay, well, I'll do some small, shows and get used to it and get over that fear of, oh my God, there's like all these people listening to me. But, you know, I didn't do that. I just went for the biggest show that I could get, obviously, you know, because I like embarrassing myself in public.
Well, you came through it, Suzanne, in flying colors, I must say.
Yes, but only, you know, because we were just talking about if people want to get into this. It took me over a year to get over that. And it's very intimidating, I think. So, you know, think about that for a minute. There's many other ways to do things, and get your message out. And the internet is the most amazing tool that we could possibly have right now. It's incredible.
Yeah, I agree with you. 100%, yeah. Uh-huh.
And we don't utilize it enough. You know, we don't use hashtags. We don't, think about the semantic web, which is something that's being created right now, where triangles are connected through information. So when you look up something, you're looking up a myriad of information. And Google, when the bots go into your website, they're looking for semantic information to connect to other websites and create that triangle effect. Many people don't understand that, and a lot of people who have websites up don't understand how that works, and so how to implement it into their website. People don't understand how to use hashtags. All of these things are really new, and so when we start to look into how this system actually works and use it to our advantage, learn how the little nuances are operating and get our information out, you'd be surprised. Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus are extremely influential on the internet. And if you want to get your information out, whatever it is and whatever form it's in, those three, I would say, are the biggest. And if you're not using hashtags, and if you're tweeting, but you're not tweeting at people, then you're not really talking to anyone. And if you're someone like me, who's a journalist or and a radio host in this show, it would be to our advantage to use those little systems. It takes about 2 seconds more than what you're already doing, but it broadens the possibility of people seeing what you're talking about.
Yeah, just like sometimes I will just post something, but I won't say anything. I'll just post it and people will just go buy it, you know, and just forget about it. But, you gotta get your message out there. You gotta put something in there if you're talking. concerned about something, just don't share it, you know.
Yeah, every time I make a comment, I always take the main words in the sentence and hashtag it. Because on Facebook, people can search actual hashtags just like you do on Twitter. And they are doing that. So, and the, one of the ways that Facebook works is if you're hashtagging something that's trending, and you might not know that it's trending, but if it is, then it will be put up farther in people's news feeds and get out there farther. And also people who are searching hashtags on Facebook will see that information up at the top, just like on Twitter. So you want to do these things when you're talking about stuff. Don't just post something. Say something, maybe just one sentence, and hashtag one of the most important words in that sentence, and you'll get twice or three times as many people viewing it. That's a way to get around some of the algorithms in Facebook that restrict people's ability to see things in their newsfeed when you post them.
Mm-hmm. Like, and just on certain things that I share, the posts that I share, I put certain words in there that really get to people. It really kind of, not attacks them, but like, you know, it gets right to their brain right away, and they're wondering, what's this guy thinking? And then they'll maybe respond or do something, say something, or comment back.
Well, next time you do that, hashtag that word, and you'll get more responses. People will see more people will see that post.
Isn't the trouble, though, that you got to deal with the trolls if you start a discussion and...
Absolutely, but folks, you know, I've dealt with trolls for 4.5 years, okay, and I've dealt with them the right way and the wrong way. I've encouraged more trolls to come attack me, and I've ignored them. And I've learned something very simple about trolls. We need to stop complaining about the trolls, okay? Mm. Here's how you deal with a troll. You either completely ignore them and block them, and know that they are talking smack about you somewhere that you don't know that you can't access, or make fun of them. I have more fun making fun of them and saying sarcastic things back than anything else. And you know what? They go away. And the good thing about that is you get better at it. Your quips and your sardonic comebacks get better. So they've actually helped me improve being a smartass, and I appreciate that because it helps me when I'm on the radio. People like a smartass.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Even Suzanne with the Boston bombings and stuff like that, somebody commented, I've seen this young guy putting the black backpack or what bomb there, mm-hmm. laying it on the ground, and I just came back. I want to see the video of that. That guy putting the backpack down on the ground. I want to see the video, and I haven't heard a word from him since.
Yeah, ask for evidence.
Ask
for evidence of what they're claiming. Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know, I've seen pictures of great white sharks with raptors on their backs and shooting off Uzis. So a picture doesn't mean anything. Since Photoshop, a picture doesn't mean anything.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And my
what's
husband
about a, go ahead.
My husband is a computer graphics artist, and I can tell you that he's done work for websites that is amazing. And you would never know that that's not a real picture. You would never know. So when people show me a photograph of something, I'm like, okay, yeah, so. A video is a little bit harder to fake, and it's easier to detect because the software and the programs that we have are not as good as we would like them to be. But a picture is worth nothing. It's not 1,000 words anymore. It's deflated. It's inflation has caught up to it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What about Suzanne? What about government trolls compared to just another type of troll? How can you maybe distinguish either of them? Like, I'm with a vaccine group on Facebook, and apparently there are trolls out there trying to denounce, the vaccines as being bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, is that a government troll or is that a different troll? How can you distinguish?
People have wacky ideas about things. I mean, I think we can all agree with that. Oh, and over the centuries, we've come up with some real doozies about, you know, what we believe about factual information. And the belief part is the problem. And I think people become so emotionally involved in a topic that they will actually say ridiculous stuff. Case in point, Josh Duggar of the Duggar family on TLC, the 19 and going or whatever, he molested five children when he was 15, including two of his sisters. And the right wing is coming to bat for him, cloaking him in support. And he's actually going to be speaking at Liberty University, which is not a real university, it's a seminary. That is ridiculously disgusting to me. Because studies have shown, in fact, I was talking about this on my show a couple of days ago. You can listen to it in the archives, but I'll talk about this briefly here right now. The studies were done last year in Canada, showing that pedophilia is a sexual orientation. Now, what that means is Josh Duggar is attracted to children. Just like I'm heterosexual, I'm attracted to men. Just like a homosexual is attracted to their same sex. The problem with that is that Josh Duggar, it's not something that happened when he was a kid, and he was completely indoctrinated into his religion, so obviously religion didn't help. This is not someone that we should be supporting. And in order to save face for their Christian religion, the right wing is cloaking him in all of this support and security. And now that TLC has canceled the show with his parents' show, and he left a job at the Family Research Council, which is run by James Dobson, who is a member of the Council for National Policy. And I talk about those guys all the time. They're the guys who write all of the plot lines for the right wing. And in order to save face for the religion, they are protecting and celebritizing this guy even farther than he already was because of the show. That is disgusting to me. We're talking about child molestation. It's not okay. I don't care if he did it at 15 or 30 or whatever. It's not okay. And if you are doing that, if you are enacting the thing that you're thinking about, that is a choice that you are making consciously to do that, and it is now part of your paradigm. We don't ever do anything we don't want to do, and that's just the truth. We may not like what we're doing, we may gripe about it, but if we are doing something, it's because we are consciously choosing to do it, whether we like it or not. So this gentleman chose to molest five children when he was 15. Just because he got married and had kids of his own does not mean that he's not still sexually attracted to children. That is not an icon for the Christian religion. And if it is, since they're protecting him, they're saying that it is. That is disgusting to me. And I would say that if your religion condones child molestation, you should think about why you are part of that religion and if you're okay with that, you know, and you might want to change your mind. I don't know. But for me, I could not be part of a religion that celebrates a child molester simply because he's a representation or a representative of the religion.
But why, Suzanne, are these religions able to operate while this stuff is going on? They should be reprimanded. They should be going to court or thrown in jail or whatever. You know, you can't have this stuff going on. Religion or faith is supposed to keep you away from doing things like that. That's what it's supposed to be about.
It's sure that it's a flawed idea. It doesn't work. We've tried it for centuries. We've had all different kinds of religion over the last 10,000 years or more. It doesn't work. Its sole purpose is to control people. Look, everybody's afraid of dying. I don't care what you say. I don't care how tough you think you are. Seriously, we're all scared of dying. It's hardwired into our genetic code. It's understandable. And the fact that we exist, it's almost impossible for us to accept that someday we won't exist. And I understand. And in order to satiate that fear so that we can keep going in our life, we've created ideas about what might happen after we die. And for the most part, they have been destructive. They have been control tactics. Religion always goes along with government. They always hang out. They're like married. And so religion controls you by fearing you into doing things that may or may not be good for you, but support a broader agenda. And government is there to threaten you in case religion doesn't do its good job. And religion is there to threaten you in case government doesn't do its job. That's a fact. That's a historical fact. You can go back and look at it. At any point in civilized history, you can go back and look at this and see that that's true. It's a bad idea. In general, it's a bad idea. We need go ahead.
So, Suzanne, that brings a lot of things to mind here, that government allows TV stations like Jerry Springer Show, other show to show and bring on people and their different situations as being normal, to normalize it. And then you get something like our government here in Canada and the U.S. wants to teach children anal sex and masturbation and this and that, the age of consent, to lower it to, I think it was 14 or 10, I forget which one it was now. So all these things to me are all the same thing. It's run by the corrupt governments, or whether they be bankers as well, to take away whatever you call it, like to, I think you know what I'm trying to say. It's all related, and it's all
I totally
to take our
understand.
Morals and values away from us. Why,
well,
I don't know, but it's just something.
Our morals and values are based on what? We have innate morals and values. We all know right from wrong, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with a religion that you adhere to. You know what's right and what's wrong. As far as having no religion and being, you know, going out in the street naked and murdering people like Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson would like you to believe, that's not feasible. It just doesn't happen. We get upset with each other because we're arguing ideology. Look at what happened in Texas. We had the free speech rally, right, which really was a way for the right-wing evangelicals to say nasty things about someone, religion that they don't like. And I'm not going to go into the reasons why. We all understand that, and we agree or disagree. And I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but for the sake of the argument, it's not okay to do that. It's baiting. It's asking for a fight. And that's not free speech. That's a bastardization of what here in the United States our founding fathers meant when they wanted to protect the rights of people to say what they think. It's using hate speech as a way to, and using the First Amendment as a way to put out your hate speech. And that's not what the founding fathers meant. But because of religion, would these people hate each other if they didn't have that ideology? I don't know. But I would argue that they wouldn't, that they would dislike each other based on merit, not on ideology. And really what we're arguing here is whether one fairy tale is more real than another. And that's ridiculously stupid.
Yeah.
We're killing each other because we're arguing, well, my demigod is bigger than your demigod. Well, my demigod's been around longer than your demigod. Well, more people believe in my demigod than yours. Ridiculous argument. Nobody knows. There's no factual evidence of any of this, any of it at all being true. And we're killing each other, arguing with each other, setting up laws against each other. That's what Indiana and Arkansas were talking about with the Religious Freedom Bill. This is Sharia law, Christian law. This is theocracy. And I think our founding fathers were extremely clear that they did not want a theocratic government. They did not want religion. Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, even George Washington, Ben Franklin, all spoke out, and that's just a handful. They all spoke out against the idea of Christian religion coming to power and influence in the government of the United States, and that is exactly what we see today. And it's disgusting, and really, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, divide and conquer, right?
Exactly. The sooner that we understand that life is what it is, and it's fantastic. Think about it. We're on a planet spinning in a solar system with all sorts of stuff going on. It's amazing what's happening here.
It is amazing.
The sooner we accept the fact that we are here and enjoy the fact that we are here, I think it will do wonders for the way in which we treat each other. I think morality would grow even faster and farther and extend beyond the ideas that we have even today, the limited ideas that we are, that we have. But this is just one version of a society. This is just one version of a government. There's a myriad of ways that we could have gone, but religion retards the process of progress. It always has, and it always will. And as soon as we let go of Linus's proverbial blanket, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, you're right, because that's what Buddha wanted. How can I save you if you do not let go?
Right, but even the Tibetan monks have a group that are much like the samurai in Japan,
right,
and ninjas. You know, don't think that any religion is above this. They're all killing each other for the sake of arguing my fairy tale is the true fairy tale. Well, how do you know? Give me evidence to back it up. Well, I believe. Okay, I get that. I believe that a unicorn might run past my house, so I'm going to sit out with a bag of feed waiting for it. But I might be there for a really long time.
Exactly. It may not even show up. You know.
Exactly. I get it. I'm scared. I'm turning 38 in a couple of months, and I'm going through a midlife crisis even at 38. I'm realizing that I'm probably at the apex of my life, and everything else is heading downhill slowly.
I do that once a month anyway.
You know, and it's sobering. Every once in a while it hits me. Oh my God, I'm 38. Oh wow. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And now my body is going into other, you know.
Anyways, we'll pick that up on the, after the break.
This is Dan Pozo on the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
The smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan, probably.
Yeah, definitely secondary explosion, because we was inside waiting to go upstairs.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend Joe Joseph is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Syl, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Syl?
He's part of the family now, T.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Flooding remains a concern as the Dallas-Fort Worth area has more rain in the forecast. At least 28 people have died since storms began pummeling Texas and Oklahoma last weekend. Meteorologist Bill Bunting with the Storm Prediction Center says flooding's the number one thunderstorm-related killer.
It's really important not to underestimate the power of running water, to take the flood threat seriously, and to make sure that you don't put yourself or your family at risk by driving into high water.
American Red Cross spokeswoman Anita Foster says that so far her organization's helped more than 1,000 families in Texas.
We still have communities near and far across Texas that aren't yet accessible, meaning the water is still too high to go in, or you know, the community just it's not safe for a community to be assessed.
Houston could get an inch or two of rain from a slow-moving storm this afternoon, but if that storm stalls, some parts of the area could receive 4 to 5 inches in a few hours, and that could cause more flooding along the Brazos River and Houston's bayous. Also at SRNnews.com, it's time to move over, Hillary.
I declare that I am a candidate for President of the United States, and I am running for you.
And Baltimore, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley launched his long-shot challenge to Hillary Clinton for the 2016 Democratic presidential nomination. O'Malley says Democrats deserve a choice and adds there's a growing gap of injustice in America.
It is the gap between the strong, just nation our children need for us to be and the nation we are in danger of becoming.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is already in the race. Former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee plans to jump in next week, and former Virginia Senator Jim Webzik exploring a potential campaign. Health officials have declared 7 miles of Southern California beach between Manhattan Beach and Redondo Beach safe after they cleaned up a bunch of oily goo. This is SRN News.
Saturdays and Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Welcome to Detroit City. I said, welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Man, we deep, everywhere we roll. Let's go around and they all know tricky.
Well, welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio right here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com with our guest host, Suzanne Pozel.
We got to give everyone a shout out to Johnny Beaver too. John Bernard, we should. Just
yes.
Because he is not on this week. He's the usual host.
That's right.
Yeah, he's moving.
Yes, he is. Not too far away, mind you, but far enough away that he'll be back probably on next week's show.
Yeah, you gotta wish him good luck with the moving.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's for sure. And he's still living in Kanadistan, like
in Hamilton. Yep.
Some of us here are, but Hamilton.
The former Steel City, right?
Yes, sir. So what were we talking about before the break? I believe it was about. Go ahead there, Suzanne, and pick up where you left off.
I was just saying that. You know, I understand the innate fear of the realization that this is your life and where you are standing is where you have gotten to. And it may not be a place that you are comfortable or you feel like you didn't accomplish what you wanted to at this juncture. And I understand that as we go on and get older, maybe our body doesn't want to act the way it used to. Maybe things don't work right and you can't do the things that you want to do. But this is what we have, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing. I have two small children, and it's amazing to watch them grow up and explore and find out things and become part of their world. I think that we don't spend enough time here now because we're so worried about what might happen then.
Yeah, so what do you do then, Susan, with the kids? Do you have to tell them not to watch certain programs, or do you, I guess you let them watch maybe cartoons, try to keep them away from the garbage that's on TV now?
Yeah, we don't have a television. We don't have cable. Everything, we have a computer in the front room, and it looks just like a TV, but it's a computer. And the kids do have access to the internet, although they know that they're not allowed to go online without us. And that way I'm able to choose what they see and what they're exposed to. But I don't want to shelter them to the point where they're ineffectual in life, because everyone else is looking at that. And I'm not showing my 8-year-old son The Walking Dead, but he knows that it exists and he understands that people are watching this for entertainment, but he also understands that that's not really entertainment.
Mm-hmm. I think, when the television first came into being, I believe it even came into being around the 1920s, if I remember correctly. And I think that's when things started to spiral out of control. You get these different fairy tales. Shows on there, and you get the different spacemen coming, you know, from another planet on the show. Then I talked about before about I Love Lucy and the Honeymooners coming on, and someone pointed out from the internet about that show being corrupted like Lucy had Lucy going behind Ricky's back, sneaking in nightclub all the time, lying to him all the time. And they were trying to, and to me, they were, it was saying that, oh, it's okay to lie, but okay, you make up in the end. And then Ralph Cramden arguing with his wife, you know, putting her as second best as far as the relationship goes. So I think the advent of television is when it was started going downhill.
But we had a lot of things going on. That was a time when there was a lot of repression in society. And there were things going on in private homes that nobody talked about. Nobody ever got a divorce. And if you did, oh my God. Women allowed themselves to be verbally, mentally, and physically abused for the sake of not looking a certain way in public. But people were very concerned about how everyone else perceived them. And I don't know where the line is drawn between the programming on television reflecting the construct of society and the programming on television being programming to create that in society. Because later on in the 60s, there was a huge break from all of the repression. And that's what the Summer of Love and Woodstock and everything was about. That's what the boomers made their mark with, that they weren't going to be like their silent generation parents, so repressed by society, by being respectable, by what other people thought. And I think those two generations, those two areas, those two 20 or 40 years combined, and the advent of television. My mother remembers when there was no television. She would listen to the radio with the serials that were going on with the Little Orphan Annie and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then television was, oh, my God, it's in your face and it's in your home. And you can see the person talking. And so all of the subtle signals with body language are now a possibility, because you're not only listening to what's happening, but you're watching their body language and you're reacting to that as well. It's a completely different medium, and it's, your brain doesn't really understand how to process that, because you're not physically with Johnny Carson, but yet you're watching him and you're seeing everything that he's doing and saying. Your brain processes that very differently, much the same way as if Johnny Carson were in the room with you. And so it's very confusing mm-hmm. to people. And so the line between when art imitates life and life imitates art, I think, got completely blurred at that point. And now it's to the point where people can't tell the difference between reality and fantasy. People actually believe that there are zombies and that there's going to actually be a zombie apocalypse. Why? Because they watched Apocalypse Z or they watched The Walking Dead, and their brain can't tell the difference, and they're actually believing and making decisions and living their life based on this irrational fear, because the line between reality and fantasy with the advent of television and even movies, you can lump that in there as well, has created a confusion in our brain.
Yeah, because you're right, Suzanne. Sorry, Mark. When I was watching like the movies like the Bourne Identity and all that kind of stuff about being on mind control drugs and with Matt Damon and having the CIA go out, hitmen going out trying to kill him, stuff like that. That kind of, I like that type of thing, because it showed to me what the CIA were actually really like. I didn't know exactly what the CIA were actually like until I saw that movie. That the CIA are not what you think they are. They're
well, we have
corrupt.
An issue. We have an issue with confirmation bias.
Right.
That's something that's very rarely ever talked about. When you have a belief system, you will search out things that confirm what you already believe. And whether or not they're factually true, if they resonate with you, quote unquote, then you will take that into your personal paradigm. The idea is to be an open mind and to recognize when your confirmation bias is being triggered. And that would be cause for you to take a step back and try to look at this a second time, with a little bit more of an open mind. Is that really true? Or did we just go from facts and evidence to batshit crazy?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do people still watch Jerry Springer then, when most people who watch it say, oh, that's all made up, this and that, but they still support it? I don't understand this. I used to watch it and I don't support it anymore.
The same reason why we went to gladiatorial games. We enjoy sensational. It's the same reason why tabloid journalism is alive and well. And it's intermingled with actual real journalism because we enjoy sensationalism. We enjoy looking at other people. Even if we act like those people, we don't see it that way. We have this innate ability to convince ourselves that we're not acting the way that we act. And so when we see someone who acts the way we act, we see them doing it and we can make fun of them and point that out and say, ah, ha, ha, that look at that person is an idiot. But then if you could look at yourself from a third party, you would see that in your private life, you're doing the same flipping
thing. You're an idiot too. Right?
Exactly.
But what I'm thinking, what Mark was talking about, the old shows like I Love Lucy and all the other shows, to me, it's kind of like a learning experience. So I Love Lucy, like Lucy was, like trying to go behind his back and trying to, see if she can get away with a lot of things. But then again, she got caught and then she's trying to get herself out of the situation by getting caught and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, trying to lie a little bit but getting caught, you know, and saying, gee, maybe I shouldn't, you know, like lie again. Maybe I shouldn't do things behind my back or behind his back and all this kind of stuff because it doesn't work. So to me, it was kind of like a learning experience that you're trying to weasel your way out of a certain situation, but it's not working. So you're getting caught. So that to me, that's a learning experience. So you don't do that anymore, right?
Right. And see, that's where perspective comes in.
Right.
Because two people can look at the same show and because of their background, because of their belief system, they will interpret that information differently. So one person would say, well, I'm not going to do what Lucy did because look what happened to her. And the other person would say, oh, that's programming to get people to lie to each other and make lying, condoning lying as part of our society. That's the interesting thing about the way our brain works. And that's why you really should be conscious of your belief system, because when you take in information, you're filtering it through all of those things. And where your belief system intermingles with some insanity is the line between the defining line of how you're going to perceive the information.
Mm-hmm. Like I used to, of course, follow Alex Jones, let's say. I started out following Alex Jones and then the Power Hour after that. And then I perceive Alex a different way now because of other people's influences on the way I should perceive his show or the way he is. And then I stop listening to him totally, you know, and then, you know, I get these different things. I don't, like you were just saying, you should really analyze what you are listening to or watching.
Right. Everybody wanted to pick me up and have me on their website. And, I was very grateful for that, but Alex Jones was one of them. And, people came to me with information and I started looking that up. And it wasn't until I found actual information that I did not think was ethical as far as the integrity of journalism. That's when I broke off contact and ties with InfoWars and Alex Jones completely. Because you can't say that you're going to replace the mainstream media because they lie when you have a complete agenda yourself. That is unethical. And it's using the idea that the mainstream media is lying to you in order to lie to your constituents and your listeners and your readers. So if what you're doing is agenda driven, then you should be honest about it. And let people come to you based on their agreeance with your agenda. But don't call yourself integral news, because you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even for me, I don't listen to Alex Jones that often anymore. It all depends, right? If he's talking about a certain subject, he's bringing up these documents, I want to go to that particular site and check these documents out as well to make sure that it is factual. You know, you're going to have all these documents, but it's probably all made up. You don't know if it is or not, but it's always good to explore to find out if these documents are real. And if you get maybe another second party or third party and you get the document there and you see video of these things happening within that document, then sure, I'll use it myself. I'll find out.
But yeah, you want to be wary of quote mining. which is something that propagandists use quite a bit. They will take a quote out of context. They will take a quote from a YouTube video nowadays, or an article, or a newspaper article, you know, before, or a transcript or something. You have to go back and actually read the whole thing, watch the whole thing, so that you know what the context of that was, in order to know whether or not they meant what was intimated by that comment or by that quote. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I mean, you could take anything out of context. And for people who are not doing their due diligence as news consumers, making sure that what they're reading and taking into their personal paradigm is actually factual, unfortunately, we have to do this more so than ever, because the internet is – anybody is on the internet, and everybody is on the internet. And there's a lot of stuff out there. And I go to websites all the time that people give me, and there's no source links at all anywhere. And it takes me 2 seconds to copy and paste something into a search engine and look it up and find out whether or not it's true. I don't understand why the journalist didn't take the time to do that. So that's not credible to me. If I have to go and spend an hour researching this article, why didn't the journalist do that? Because I know that I spend hours researching for articles that I write. I want to make sure that it's factually correct. And things change. And over time, I've had to go back and make updates to articles, because stuff changes, or go and find a new source link, because the source link I used 2 years ago, the page is no longer available. But that's part of a journalistic due diligence. While we're on the subject, I wrote an article this morning about a fake chocolate weight loss study that completely highlights what we're talking about right now. This gentleman, John Bonham, put out a fake study showing that chocolate has positive effects for weight loss. And this study was reported on by lots and lots of people, including MSNBC, Yahoo News, Youngevity, the makers of Tangy Tangerine, and I have a PDF. If you're taking it, you might want to email me at occupycorporatism@gmail.com, because that stuff is toxic. The Independent, the Daily Mail, Natural News, and Natural Society, they all report, and that's just a handful of news websites that reported on this fake study as if it were true. Nobody did their due diligence. Nobody read the study, because the study was written in such a way, according to the author of the study, it was written in such a way that even if you had a rudimentary understanding of chemistry, you would know that it's bogus. You wouldn't even have to have gone to college to understand. If you know what 2+2 is, then you would understand that the science behind it was complete fake. But nobody read the study, obviously, and nobody did their due diligence. And so people are eating chocolate thinking that they're losing weight. And what is disgusting to me is members of the Truth Movement, Natural Society, and Natural News reported on it without doing their due diligence. As a journalist, that's an affront, because we're supposed to be truth news, right?
Exactly.
We're supposed to be telling you the truth that MSN and Yahoo is keeping from you. But if the journalists writing these articles are not doing their homework before they go to publication, then they're no different than MSNBC.
Well, I think we've slowly, I like journalism, but I like the old journalism. The journalism of old, getting out there on the street and getting information from different sources and all that kind of stuff, and writing it, sitting down at your desk and typing it out and writing it out or whatever. We've lost that way of doing things. And, we just take articles from somebody and saying, I guess that must be right. So I guess I'll just put it onto my website and consider it to be true. You know, we can't do things like that. We have to get out there and we have to pound the pavement, so to speak, and get certain articles from different sources. And if you find that it's true, then fine, we can use it.
Yeah, but Mike, you go back to the Kennedy assassination.
Right, yeah.
And Walter Cronkite being on there covering it. And you saw the look in his face, and he was very upset about what happened. But he's reporting what's given to him.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Exactly. He cannot really put in his opinions on there. He's controlled. So it's always been a controlled thing.
Yeah, but we have that problem with people like Phyllis Schlafly. and Paul Craig Roberts and Jerome Corsi and Breitbart and Wayne LaPierre of NRA. These people are controlled by the CNP. So when they come on and they start talking about things, you have to realize what they're talking about was a plot line to a story and an agenda that was proposed by the Council for National Policy, and they're reporting on that as if that were fact. We have that same problem that we had with Walter Cronkite and now the six corporations that own all the media. That same problem is in alternative media as well. That virus is there too. And and that is a fact.
Yeah, the controlled the controlled opposition, right?
It is a fact. You can go to the Council for National Policy's website and look at it and see who their members are. I've written six articles so far, and I've talked about it numerous times on the radio. And it's amazing to me. Rand Paul is a member, not his father, but Rand Paul, and his father promotes every CNP member that he can think of. Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney, George Bush Sr., the executive director of the Cato Institute. The Cato Institute put out that the death panels are written into Obamacare. So is that factual? Is that CMP rhetoric? I don't know. Go read Obamacare. That's the problem that we have here. We have factions on both sides arguing a point that has to do with their agenda that may or may not be factually based. And even if it is factually based, it's twisted and spun to a point where it suits their agenda. And people don't. Most people don't read an article. I can tell you on my website, people read about a third of the article, and that's it. Yeah. They're gone. So most people are reading my headlines, and most people are commenting on headlines. So they think that the headline embodies everything that has to do with the article and all the information in it. And that's gross misinterpretation of news journalism, exactly what you were talking about before, the old idea that you actually go out there, find the news, get your sources, spend more than 30 minutes doing research and put out news that was fact-checked, that was corroborated, and that is trustworthy.
You're so right, Suzanne. That is so true.
A lot of it has to do with ratings, too. It's not all about, it's all about news. News is just a word. You know, it's just something that's there to keep you entertained. And like the Toronto Sun that we have in Toronto, which I believe, to me, is just a newspaper, just a paper with just news in it. It has nothing to do with any real facts or anything like that.
It's a tabloid.
It's a tabloid type of paper.
Exactly.
But people like it because it's smaller. It's not like the Toronto Star, which is big. Right, and it's an arm's length of paper, you know what I mean, when you hold pages open. People like the Toronto Sun because it's more smaller and more compact. That's why people, like it. And unfortunately, it's got good ratings, but the contents in there that I've, looked at and read, like in the Boston bombings and 9/11, they still go by the original narrative. They have done no research whatsoever. And they get their information from a newspaper that is similar to them. And they get whatever information gets from other newspapers like them, plus the government. Mm-hmm. And they're basically on the same side as the government. Whatever the government says, that's it. It's truth.
Yeah, and my friend, he goes mostly to main publications like the Toronto Star, Toronto Sun, whatever. And we can't talk about politics together because he only goes to the mainstream media, mainstream sources to get his information. He says, oh, I'll go to this publisher or that publisher, see what they have to say about a certain topic. But you're getting the same thing. You're just getting a few words that are different. But you're getting the same propaganda message there. And he doesn't understand this. So he must do some other research, media, just that one, to get the truth.
Oh, absolutely. That the regurgitation is a huge problem in journalism as well as opinion-based news. I see a lot of what should be classified as op-ed being promoted as news articles. And just because they have a couple of source links in them doesn't mean that it's not an op-ed piece. In fact, a lot of op-ed pieces have source links in them. But when you are reading about someone talking about their opinion and using certain adjectives and certain phrases to refer to people and events, you're being propagandized to, whether it's alternative or mainstream. That's just the end of it. If you don't understand that it's really an op-ed piece, then you don't understand that you shouldn't be taking this too seriously. That's just that guy's opinion. And you might agree with his opinion, but it's still an opinion. It's not a fact. So we need to maybe relearn those discerning skills, or maybe we didn't learn them in school or at home, but we need to acquire them in order to even look at due diligence. Because how are we going to discern when we go to look up and research what we're being fed? How do we discern from fact and fiction when people are reposting articles from the Inquisitor and the Mirror and the Daily Mail? These are all tabloid rags, and they're reposting them as if they're fact. We have a serious problem. We can't tell the difference anymore between somebody's opinion, a fact, or just something completely made up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Unless you go to the actual government website and look into Obamacare or look into the Patriot Act or whatever it is there. You gotta read first, you know, or the CDC website. You gotta go there to see what they're saying. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And June 1st on Monday, the 215 of the Patriot Act dies. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Let it die. Mm-hmm. We'll have a funeral.
But there are some talk about it being revised or kept going as well.
Well, there's no evidence of that, but there have been attempts by like Mitch McConnell and a couple of Democratic senators. Obama is supporting the U.S. Freedom Act, which would keep certain aspects of 215 alive and well. In fact, Mitch McConnell's version wants to keep 215 alive intact, regardless of whether or not the Patriot Act ever dies. You would always have 215. That's scary. But those two attempts are not being fostered in the House or the Senate. So they're not going they're not going far enough to become an actual law. So, you know, this is the weekend is it. And I know that there's a protest for, a re-protest for Occupy Wall Street scheduled for Monday, but I think that we should all, have a celebration on Monday, you know, get out your barbecues and get out your beers and have a good time and make phone calls all you want, because the bulk collection will not be happening. So text if you want to send a nudie photo, go ahead and do it on Monday.
Oh no. Well, what was that when Rand Paul did that stunt a few weeks ago, or Stand with Rand, where he's doing a filibuster or something?
Actually, we got a break coming up, guys. We'll catch you
for generation. A new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Trade ministers from 21 Asia-Pacific countries have issued strong support to the World Trade Organization's efforts to boost global trade amid a flurry of regional free trade agreements.
The ministers in the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Group of Nations have vowed to ratify a landmark trade facilitation deal by December. The ministers also pledged to contribute to a work program to conclude the much-delayed Doha round of trade negotiations. They also promised to exercise restraint in implementing measures consistent with WTO provisions, but which have a significant protectionist effect.
SRN's Jeremy House reporting. The minister's agreement came at the conclusion of a recent meeting on the central Philippine resort island of Boracay. The newly elected head of the world soccer governing body, Sepp Blatter, told reporters he has no concerns about being caught up in the probe and denied that he was the high-ranking FIFA official mentioned in a U.S. indictment who wired $10 million for apparent bribes. This is SRN News. The Obama administration is proposing to reduce the amount of ethanol blended in the nation's gasoline. SRN's Bob Agnew has more.
A 2007 law requires a steady increase in the amount of renewable fuels like ethanol blended into the gasoline we use. A new proposal, though, would reduce the amount required by more than 4 billion gallons this year and by more than 3 billion gallons next year. The move is seen as a blow to renewable fuel companies that have pushed to keep high volumes of their products flowing into the gas we use. It's unlikely, though, to mean much for consumers filling up at the pump. Bob Agnew, SRN News.
A person familiar with the allegations against former House Speaker Dennis Hastert says the Illinois Republican paid hush money to conceal claims he sexually molested someone decades ago. A federal indictment was issued Thursday accusing Hastert of agreeing to pay $3.5 million to keep someone silent about prior misconduct, but it didn't say what the alleged misconduct was. More details at SRN News.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Sustainable development.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio right here on Truth Frequency Radio. And Suzanne Pozel is with us as our guest host.
Hello, everyone.
What were we talking about there, Suzanne, before the break?
Oh, my gosh, I don't know.
It was the Patriot Act, because I was surprised that, because Rand Paul had done the stunt that he was going to shut it down with a filibuster or something. But you're saying it's already ending.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, I covered that on my show. 10 hours and 30 minutes. Now remember, folks, I just want to remind you guys, last time Rand Paul did a filibuster for 13 hours about drone surveillance, he really wasn't talking about using drones to surveil us in general. He just didn't want anybody to see his wife and him in their hot tub in their backyard, okay? But while he was filibustering, the Department of Defense was getting a bill passed for $619 billion, which included all sorts of money to all sorts of different programs, within the Department of Defense that's, you know, underneath with DHS and the Pentagon and all that. And Planned Parenthood. Okay? That's what happened last time he filibustered. So this time, he happens to be filibustering about the NSA, which we all agree on. He's also running for president in 2016. So is that a platform he's using? Absolutely he is. Did his filibuster have anything to do with the Patriot Act? No. Because like I said, there are three senators, and three House of Representatives who are right now trying to, save 215 of the Patriot Act in its original form or even in an amended form, in any form, just they want to save it. Obama came out yesterday and said that the death of, the bulk collection is a national security threat. And on some level, he's not lying. It actually kind of is. But what the NSA did is they took their ability and just went all out with it and used the FISA court as their ability to do so, justifying it with 215. And we don't agree with that. But the section of the Patriot Act is dying on Monday. It dies midnight on Sunday. And right now, they're just scrambling trying to figure out how to salvage it, even in an amended form with the U.S. Freedom Act.
Huh. So the Rand Paul, filibuster, that was against the Freedom Act or that was against the Patriot Act?
Yeah, that was against the Freedom Act. That was against the Patriot Act 215. But he's standing on a platform. Remember, he's running for president. and he needs votes.
Right.
And he's going out there and proselytizing to minority areas and all across the United States in black and Hispanic neighborhoods, trying to get them to go Republican. So he's working really hard to go on platforms that we all agree on already. We don't like the fact that the NSA is spying on everyone, every single thing that we do all the time. If they're going to spy on anyone, they should have cause, and it should be specific, and it should be notable with evidence, not just casting out your net and hoping that you catch a few fish, which is what they're doing now. That is an affront of our privacy rights afforded to us in the U.S. Constitution, and spying on other countries breaks their laws and their government rules and regulations as well. So the NSA has pissed off everybody. Not just here in the United States, the people of our country, but everyone is being spied on for any reason whatsoever. That needs to stop. And It is stopping. And if we just let it die on Sunday at midnight, we should celebrate like it were New Year's Eve, okay?
Yes, exactly.
At midnight on Sunday, get out your champagne and make as many phone calls as you want, as many text messages, do whatever you want because you're not being spied on.
Well,
here in Canada, we got it.
One good thing about it, next week I'm on holiday, so I don't have to go into work. I've got a good reason to celebrate.
Have a party Sunday night. Everybody have a party.
Yeah, exactly.
Party time in the USA. The trouble though with Canada is the Bill C-51. They're supposed to be passing it next week too. I guess like the government's already passed it, but the Senate now has to pass it.
And is
once
that
they
like
put it in, then it becomes law.
What does that entail?
It's a, it's one where they're gonna do, they can do basically it's a domestic spying thing with, CSIS, but then also, they can do where they can hold, people without warrant and stuff and like just, or without charge, indefinite detention, and there's all sorts of stuff, and it's all supposed to be an anti-terrorism one, but, it's been built up like a Patriot Act, I guess.
Nice.
But with the death of the Patriot Act, is that maybe have an effect on Bill C-51? Or do you think that will be completely, totally different?
Well, if Canada can do it on against its own citizens, then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just hoping that our government is looking at what's going to happen with the Patriot Act when it just fizzles right out. And, hopefully it won't leave any trace of anything behind when it does go. Hopefully our government will look at that and say, well, if the Patriot Act is gone, then this is going to be a lot harder to put through. Hopefully that's the way it'll look at, but I don't know.
See, at the March Against Monsanto last week, they had a booth that was anti-C-51, and I was surprised to see it there because it's already passed the government, right? It's like, why would you be still protesting something that's already passed? But then I realized that they were promoting a protest that's happening this weekend, might even be today, in Ottawa, and because I guess it hasn't passed the Senate. So the Senate could actually stop it, but because the Senate's not even elected, they're just appointed that pretty much they guarantee almost everything goes through. There's not much they don't pass.
Wow.
Especially when it's requested like this one. Like basically they used there was a terrorist attack in Ottawa, but it was one guy that was attacked like a parliament or ran into parliament with a gun and stuff, and they used that.
Yeah, and that one guy dropped, kicked him, and brought him down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there is a big action scene, and then they can use that as a that it's all everyone's under threat. So the thing that they put in it is there's a bunch of laws on propaganda, or they say. If someone is like influenced by, anything you wrote or said, then you can be charged as well, I guess, if they, did some kind of a terrorist attack.
Wow.
But I guess that's already, you'd think that would already be in the law, right? But
oops,
that's
they
why
forgot
if they're
going to
write that down, then why, why are they doing that? But then that's where the theories are that it's a attack on like alternative media and stuff. And
well, if you're, if like with this Draw Muhammad thing, with Pamela Geller and then this other idiot down in Texas or in Arizona. If you're going to do something that incites another group of people to become angry at you and possibly retaliate, you're a douchebag. And if you're doing it in the name of patriotism and freedom, then you're bastardizing it and you are a domestic terrorist. You're terrorizing people. You can disagree with somebody's ideology.
That is what the guy said at the booth too. He said, if you incite someone, then you could be charged under it.
I think that, like, this gentleman in Arizona that did this free speech rally, he is a domestic terrorist. He's inciting something to happen between the evangelicals and the Islamic community. That's not okay. I can disagree with your ideology. I don't have to incite you into anger in order to get my point across. I mean, we get it. You know, 70.6% of Americans are of a Christian-based faith. You know, so we get it. You adhere to that. We understand that. But disagreeing with someone and trying to piss them off to get them to retaliate in a violent way, those are two different things.
So, mm-hmm. Suzanne, who's doing this? Getting everybody...
Just Sweet Charlie.
Right. You know? It's the CNP. In the United States, it's the Council for National Policy. They want theocratic rule. They want the government to be run by biblical principles and all laws to be, you know, written with God in mind and God-centered president and God-centered Congress and God-centered judicial system.
Yeah, I posted on my Facebook page, if the government tells you to do something, do the opposite. You know, I get down straight to the point, you know, I just tell them where it's at, you know, but people are just, I don't know, I don't know. People are doing more like they're trying to do all this divide and conquer and get everybody fighting off against each other. And I think a lot of people, well, of course you're going to have them rallying or protesting. That's probably just normal. But maybe the government doesn't care if you do that, or they know you don't have any power. Even if you do that, they're not going to listen to you. But I don't know. Is there an alternative as what we can do as far as all different religions and people can do to just stop what's going on? Like, just don't go out. How do you stop this from happening?
Stop patronizing. And I don't mean, you know, patronizing in the way that we talk to each other. We've seen over the course of a couple of weeks, Pepsi took aspartame out of their diet products.
Right.
Last year, or I think a year and a half ago, Cheerios went non-GMO. We just saw Taco Bell and Pizza Hut say that they're not going to have any artificial flavors and colorings in their food. All of this is due to customer sentiment. They're not getting the profit margin that they used to get because people are voting with their purchasing power. And that is really your power. That is real. You are the job creator. A company can start and get products and open business, but if nobody comes in to buy their products, then they go out of business. And it happens quickly on a small scale. It takes a little bit longer on a big scale. But it can happen. So if we don't like Monsanto, you don't have to go to a march, which, by the way, March Against Monsanto has already been infiltrated by Monsanto. But that's another thing we could talk about later on. Mm. You can just decide, I'm not going to buy a product that is sold by Monsanto or a product that Monsanto's ingredients are put into. And when those companies start feeling the profit hit, and you could watch it on the NASDAQ with their stocks going pew all the way down, and they start making concessions like Pepsi taking out aspartame and Taco Bell and Pizza Hut saying we're not going to put any – or Chipotle saying no more chickens with antibiotics. McDonald's thinks that they're going to make healthier hamburgers by toasting the bun. You know, they're coming up with ridiculous ideas just to get you back in the door. Stay out. Keep going. Walk past it. It's not a restaurant. It's cancer. And just keep moving. And eventually they'll go out of business.
Well,
eventually they will.
Look at McDonald's. I work for them, so it's been pretty busy lately because you get people like coming in. You get the people coming in at all hours of the night, eating burgers and their Big Macs and their quarter pounders and their chickens and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I ask them why. Because, well, you know, I got off work late and I need something to eat and all that kind of stuff. And I just look at them. It's called
willpower. It's willpower. I eat at the right time. I go to bed, I get up, 7:30, 8 o'clock, I have my dinner at a kitchen table, right? And
you don't have fourth meal?
Fourth meal? Oh, those are the between things. Yeah, yeah. Chips here and a chips there. No, I eat at a proper time and the proper way. Eat proper foods and stuff like that from scratch. And that's it. And I have my
own. But then you got willpower then.
Yeah, exactly. Cause this food has, like chemicals that actually give you the craving for it. It's all about craving. If I would eat this stuff 24/7, I'd be craving all the time for this stuff. But I don't, cause I don't eat it. I don't crave it.
Well, you were saying, Suzanne, about Pepsi taking aspartame. What are they replacing that, chemical with?
They're replacing it with Splenda, and Splenda has its own adverse effects. And if you'd like to know what they are, it's on OccupyCorporatism.com. It's not better, yeah. But they went on Twitter and admitted that they're doing it because of customer sentiment. And so did Taco Bell, and so did Pizza Hut, and so did General Mills with Cheerios. That shows me that purchasing power works. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't protest, but I'm telling you it's not effectual. So you can go ahead and do that. It'll make you feel better. I understand wanting to feel better. But after the protest, make a conscious decision that you're not going to buy these products anymore and spread that idea to your friends and family. And eventually it will happen. First thing that the corporation will do is change the constituents of their products. If that doesn't work, then they'll try some gimmicks and some new marketing schemes. What you are seeing is the death throes of the corporation. So instead of helping them by saying, oh, well, at least they're taking aspartame out, I should go get a Diet Pepsi. Yeah. No, just don't. Don't get the Diet Pepsi. Keep it going because they're in the death throes. Wait till you see that they're changing CEOs, like with McDonald's. McDonald's has been losing profits. They lost 30% of their profits just in 2014 alone. They just got a new CEO. They're trying anything they can possibly. That whole loving it thing where you text message somebody you love and you get a free meal, that's all because they are dying. Let them go. It's like 2:15. Let it die. Just sit back and watch, and when it's finally dead, pop out the champagne.
Yeah, but my boss is telling me that processed foods is actually healthy for you. It actually enhances the flavor. That brings the flavor out. That's what he said.
Well, if my personal income were based on a fast food chain, you know, if I were the manager, if I'd worked my way up to manager at McDonald's, I'm dependent on that company staying in. And if I'm a franchisee, I've invested a lot of money to keep this going. So of course I'm going to say anything it takes, because if I don't have this job, I'm going to be out of work and my family's going to be hungry. So people defending the ridiculous, just like with Josh Duggar, is that they are personally involved in it. We need to detach. There's lots of other ways to earn a living. Just find one. And if you can't find one, right now is the biggest boom of startup companies. So if you have a talent or a way of doing whatever it is, if it's music, if it's writing, if it's artwork, if you just have a really good business sense, you could start up a company even online with no overhead for hundreds of dollars. You could get a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo and get crowdsourcing so that you don't have to get investors. Right now is the best time to become an entrepreneur if you want to. You don't have to work for anyone. You could work for yourself. But if you're going to choose to work for someone, find a job that you working for a company that you agree with their ethics and values. Because that's another thing. If they can't employ anybody, I'll give you an example. The IRS is in real trouble as far as employees go, because millennials know all about the IRS. They know that the IRS is lying to them and that they are the collection agency of the Federal Reserve. So they're not applying to jobs at the IRS. So the IRS is freaking out, trying to figure out how do they get the millennials to apply for these jobs. Otherwise, when the guys who are working now retire, there's no one to replace them. This is how you kill the agency. This is how you kill the corporation. You don't apply for the jobs and you don't patronize them. Eventually they will go away, I promise you.
Very good, Suzanne. That is so true.
Yeah. So simple.
Yeah, I used to think that rallies and protests were the way to go, but you know, a lot of them are done on a Saturday, and, you know, government offices are closed on Saturday, so it's kind of a waste of time. It's not a total waste of time because you're waking other people up who are watching and filming it and this and that, which is the only good part about it to me.
Yeah, but it has to be backed up. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
You go ahead. I was finished.
What's the infiltration, though, of the March Against Monsanto? That part I hadn't heard.
Oh. At Richmond, Virginia, last year, March Against Monsanto hooked up with Renew Richmond, which is an organization that promotes labeling it, and they happen to be hooked up with 4-H. And 4-H is owned by Monsanto. Monsanto bought 4-H several years ago. And 4-H is influencing in 88 different countries. I think it's 2 or 3 million children all across the world, not just in the United States. And so this labeling it also is a concoction of Monsanto. It's actually on the federal level, it is a rules and regulation that is written by Monsanto and DuPont in the biotech industry for voluntary use of labeling. And all of the rules and regulations basically say you don't have to admit to anything, but if you choose to, here's a nice little label you can slap on your product. On the state level, Monsanto has infiltrated with just label it and label GMO. Because once the federal government passes through the FDA these new rules and regulations, the federal law will supersede anything that the states pass. So if you get people focused on the state level, you get them distracted long enough for the lobbyists up on Capitol Hill to force the FDA to accept these rules. Once that happens, all the state level laws are now null and void. They're not applicable. The federal supersedes it. This is just a cat and mouse game that Monsanto and the biotech industry has created to keep everybody distracted long enough to get these federal mandates passed. And once they do get passed, all of your efforts to label it will be null and void because it's all voluntary. There's no mandatory. They don't even have to explain what chemicals they were using or what their constituents are. So we're not accomplishing anything, but we're protesting. We're out there. We're angry, but our anger is being misdirected. What we should be doing is changing things with our purchasing power. That's all.
I think, you're right, Suzanne. I think that's the simplest and easiest way to do it. If you're not happy with the product, don't buy it. Just let it sit there on the shelves and let it rot and everything else. That's if it does rot, probably not. But that's the easiest, simplest way, I think, to do it. That's another form of protest, right? I like that idea. Because go ahead.
It's the ultimate form of protest. And you don't have to let anybody know that you're doing it. You just, when people come over and they look in your cabinets and they notice there's no GMO products, they might ask you a question. Why did you go to your local butcher that you have met and that you know in order to buy your meat? Why aren't you going to the supermarket? People will ask questions because they're curious. And if something looks like it's trending, people will want to grab to it because it's trendy, okay? So make this trendy. And then all of a sudden everybody will be doing it. And then big agro won't matter because people aren't buying from Tyson or Foster Farms. They're buying from their local hatcheries or their local butchers. And those companies will grow because profit margins will increase. See, we don't really understand how this all works. We hear something, we get upset, and then all of a sudden somebody says, well, I know what to do. Get out your pitchforks and light a fire and let's go. And then we say, yeah, I'm really pissed off. I'm going to go do that. So you get out your pitchfork and you follow him. Meanwhile, after the protest, you go to Burger King or McDonald's and have a cheeseburger and talk about your protest. That's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. What were you protesting? So do it with your purchasing power and then they will go away. It won't, these large corporations, these multinational corporations, it's going to take some time. I mean, I understand that, but from the time that I started writing articles 4.5 years ago to now, I never thought that aspartame would be taken out of any products voluntarily because of customer sentiment. I always thought that that was it. Even the federal government here in the United States has lowered the acceptable level of fluoride put into the public water system. They didn't get rid of it. But for the first time since 1964 when they implemented it, they changed the acceptable level. They lowered it by 2%. That means that we're having an effect. So keep doing it. Go ahead.
I agree with you. And we have to, because I live in Mississauga, right? And one of the guys that works from the region of Peel, I gave him a DVD. It's called The Dangers of Fluoride and Aspartame. I gave it to him. And I've said, you give it to your friends, you give it to your coworkers, and give it to your boss. Let them look at it, let them watch it, and to see what's actually going on with this stuff and why it has a certain effect on our health and well-being. And, I gave him that, and I haven't seen him since. It's been about a month and a half that I gave it to him. And hopefully it'll make a difference. And I think, it will make a difference once he looks at it and his superiors look at it too, right? So hopefully, I just cross my fingers that it might have some kind of effect. But what we've done in Mississauga, they used to have a lot of chlorine in the water. Cause every time you turn on your tap and wow, you get a real, nose full of, chlorine. And he told me that they lowered the chlorine intake into the water, so you don't really smell it anymore like you used to. And I said, well, why don't we do that with the fluoride in the water? Get rid of it altogether. And he says, well, it was because it's good for your teeth. And I said, well, do you brush your teeth in the shower? Probably not. You know, what's the use of having toothpaste when toothpaste has got fluoride in it? Might as well just use the plain tap water to brush your teeth as well, right?
So, well, that's what the government said here. They said that with fluoride being in so many products, the American public are getting enough fluoride and they can go ahead and lower it in the public water supply. But if you want to just stand on someone else's laurels, Harvard University and now Ohio State University have both done studies showing that fluoride is a neurotoxin, and they are both publicly calling for fluoride to be taken out of the water supply completely. So pass that along to your friends and family if they're into, you know, just mainstream sources and they respect these two institutions. Show them that. Now we have scientists from Harvard and Ohio State University publicly stating that this needs to be removed from the water supply. And at least Harvard University has a lot of clout with our federal government here in the United States.
Yeah. Don't we have a natural fluoride that naturally occurring from the earth?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I thought maybe we might have sodium fluoride is what, when people are dealing with, sodium fluoride, they have to wear protective, equipment. Masks and gloves, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then again,
well,
exactly. But you can
ingest it.
Anyways, we've got a break, guys. We'll catch you on the backside of this break.
A new world order.
TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
The rule of law.
Label flora.
The jungle governs the conduct of nations.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media, Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker for free. Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TruthFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Former Maryland Governor Michael Malley made it official today. He is a candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2016. In a nod to the recent unrest in Baltimore, O'Malley says conditions of extreme poverty breed conditions of extreme violence.
We have work to do. Our economic and political system is upside down and backwards, and it is time to turn it around.
O'Malley joins Hillary Clinton and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders as formal candidates. Former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee plans to jump in the ring next week. Also at SRNnews.com, Republican Senator John McCain says China's expanding land reclamation projects in the South China Sea are enough justification to provide more defensive weapons to Vietnam.
Weapons that are defensive in nature that could be used in case of a crisis situation between Vietnam and China.
Speaking in Singapore, McCain says he wants to see a gradual full removal of the ban. Dallas-Fort Worth area has been dry for the most part Saturday, but it's a different story elsewhere. National Weather Service has issued a flood watch for portions of central and south Texas, which could see as much as 5 inches of rain Saturday if a storm system stalls over the area. San Marcos Emergency Management Coordinator Ken Bell says large numbers of volunteers and relief supplies are expected in San Marcos and in Hays County over the weekend.
We had to set up infrastructure to receive these people, goods, donations, and things to that effect, and that's an undertaking under itself, especially in towns that have just been destroyed in a massive way.
May storms have already resulted in at least 29 deaths and 25 of those in Texas, 11 people still missing, the latest death in Dallas when police pulled a man from his truck that had been swept off the road. This is SRN News.
We'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Anarchy!
Flip Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays, True Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
The blue on the sea, loose and complete under sky, so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so we danced the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm near? New Orleans sinking man, and I don't want to swim.
Angry Beaver Radio.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio, right here at TruthFrequencyRadio.com. And Suzanne Pozel's right here with us as our guest host. Suzanne, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of, let's say, McCain's French fries? Do you think they're a GMO company?
I don't know. What?
Cause
let me look that up.
Yeah, because I remember there was a they were confronted, I think, a few years ago about the ingredients that they were using in their French fries and in their products and stuff like that too, right? And I've got the list about the shoestring French fry potatoes, which is McDonald's French fries, which since the early 80s have been supplying McDonald's with their French fries right now, right? And from that time on, I have the ingredients list here. Ingredients, potatoes. I don't think that's an ingredient. I think that's a product. Ingredients is something that you add to that, right? So anyway, yes, go ahead.
I think the potatoes are like the corn and the soy, where they're just complete, and most tomatoes, where they're the actual natural strains are hard to find and usually at organic locations. Everything else is just strictly GMO. Nobody buys anything but GMO.
Mm. And right here it says ingredients, potatoes, canola oil, hydrogenated soybean oil, safflower oil, natural flavor, vegetable source, dextrose, sodium, and sodium acid, phosphate to maintain color, and it's got citric acid, and it's got a silicone in it. It's used as an anti-foaming agent.
That sounds great. That sounds like pink slime.
Which actually, the anti-foaming agent, the silicone, is actually in breast implants and silly putty.
Oh, that's silicone.
That's the silicone that they're using, and I looked that up. That's what the same thing that they're using. And these French fries are made by McCain's.
This is when it's in the deep fryer, it would start foaming, I guess, or if it didn't have it, or what do they mean by anti-foaming, you think?
I think that's probably what they mean by it, maybe just so it doesn't explode, but.
That's really bad.
But it's also in the oil itself that they use. The vegetable oil that they use. And with the vegetable oil that they use, is there's no vitamins, no minerals, no nothing. There's zero all the way down. All it is fat, which is almost 900% fat or 1,000, whatever. It doesn't really matter. And it's just there's nothing there. There's no food value in that oil that I could see. There's zero everything. Vitamin C, D, A, nothing. There's nothing there whatsoever.
Well, that's like corn, you know, and not just GMO, but corn in general has no medicinal value to it at all. Your body just doesn't even process it. It goes right through.
Exactly.
So the idea of us eating food to keep us going, not necessarily for caloric intake, is something that we've been using for a very, very long time. It's just a filler. The problem becomes when it's all genetically modified that you're using for filler because of what it does to your, on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm. Like it's even like, cornmeal. It's in human food. As well as animal food.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's passing through as the animal tries to process this and its biochemistry tries to figure out what to do with it. It's changing on a cellular level as well. Mm-hmm. And then you're consuming that meat.
Exactly. And the chicken nuggets have sodium, aluminum, phosphate.
Yeah, because aluminum is great for you. Everybody wants Alzheimer's.
Exactly. They must be. But that
Well, who wants to remember what's going on?
Yellow corn syrup, wheat flour, and contains wheat. But it says nuggets made with chicken breast, meat chopped, seasoned, formed, and breaded, and purified in vegetable oil. And they add, protected with a water mist. So they put a little added, little water mist in there.
Yeah, and they spray, their hamburgers with basically Windex. It's ammonia.
Ammonia, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, most vegetable oil is not vegetable necessarily, it's soybean, which is GMO. Okay, so not only are they making it with GMO and they're injecting hormones into it, but then they're deep frying it in the GMO as well.
Yeah, you're right. And they use hydrogenated soybean oil.
Yes.
It is basically, it's almost like it's like turning something into plastic. Right? And we did a video on that when we were out on the street and talking about hydrogenated oils. But if you go to Whole Foods or any of those other places, they use non-hydrogenated oils because it's actually better for you. And hydrogenated is like one molecule away from plastic. And who wants to eat that? A lot of people that go into the restaurant don't even ask what is in your chicken nuggets, what is in your burgers, what is this, what is that. Nobody says anything. Everybody's there just ordering, and that's it. McDonald's has a beautiful display menu board where it turns on and off automatically, and it switches from dinner to breakfast automatically. It really looks pretty. It really looks nice. That's how people are attracted to it.
Yes, marketing works
exactly. All the burgers are all set up nice and pretty and stuff like that. Nothing's falling out of it and everything like that. And everything's just set up really nicely to give people the illusion that everything is just right, but it's not. They use food coloring in the meat. It's like a red, which meat is not supposed to be red. It's supposed to be a dark color, right? But they just throw the patties on the grill and just cook it up, and people eat, and it's all grease. They have to throw out a whole big bucket full of that grease at the end of the night.
They can actually throw it out, or is it like an industrial waste?
There's a big container that you can throw this. Big grease trap container, which it's organic. It's organic on it. Because it supposedly comes from the earth. It's gotta be organic, you know? But the truck comes in once a month or whatever and hauls that stuff away.
Like a special truck. So it
yes,
is a special
yes, exactly. But I don't know what they do after it, with it afterwards. I'm not sure. But I like to know.
Well, speaking of something that goes away and we have no idea what happens to it, while we're talking about GMO and organic food, we need to talk about the biosolids. Do you guys know what those are?
No.
Biosolid is the same thing that you just flushed down the toilet this morning. It gets refined through many different processes into a cake, and then it is sold to anyone. Local farmers, big agra. It's even in the nice fresh potting soil you get at Home Depot or Lowe's. Every time you put your, you buy that big bag and you put your hands in, you're like, ooh, wow, this is really good fresh soil. Yeah, it's filled with human waste. So we have a serious problem, at least here in the United States, where everything is being grown, whether it's organic or not. It's being grown with human feces mixed into the soil with biosolids. It's a huge industry, lots and lots of money. You're giving them their product, by the way. You don't realize it because you're flushing it down the toilet, but it's worth a lot of money. Billions and billions of dollars a year. So maybe while we're talking about, you know, like as a national or international conversation about genetically modified organisms, we should also kind of maybe put in there the argument over biosolids and whether or not we want all of our food to be grown in human waste. We don't like it when other countries do it. So why are we complaining about them when we do it ourselves? Oh, and it's not just in the food. They put it at, you know, when they're putting down all the stuff for the new playgrounds that our kids like to play in.
Right
underneath those bark chips is biosolids. So our kids are playing in our own.
It's not
crap.
Animal manure. It's our own.
It's human. So oh. The baseball
fields. I think they
fields.
Use some of it for energy, because I know it's in Mad Max, the Thunderdome. They're using pig waste as the, it's what powers the Thunderdome rotor.
Yeah, but at least it's pig waste. I mean, if it were like human waste, it would, that's exactly what's happening. I'm not even making this up. I did a whole story on it on my radio show because I saw this, Vice News did a little thing on this about 15 minutes long, and this guy followed in New York the waste from the toilet all the way to the field. And he couldn't believe that that's exactly what happens. It goes through about four different plants to get refined, and then they make it into this cake. Well, they call it cake. It's like dough. It's like cookie dough. And that is then sold on the market, and it's sold to all different kinds of companies. You'd be surprised. It was even in the potting soil, and my jaw hit the floor. And so I went and looked at local, in some of the major cities here in the United States, I looked at their budgets for their annual budgets for parks and agriculture, and biosolids is built into it. So taxpayers are paying for the government to buy their own crap and then sell it to their farmers and build parks with it and playground areas, also the fields in the elementary schools and high schools. It's all laid down with it. And so we're walking around in our own poop and eating food that is grown in our own poop, and we just don't know it.
Yeah, and the mainstream media won't mention anything about that. You know, so no wonder the mainstream is collapsing, you know. Everybody's going into alternative, and we'll try to keep it alternative as pure as we can. But I'm not surprised when you say this, because with GMO going on and with the fluoride put in our water and so many other things, it's not surprising to me this is happening.
Yeah, it was absolutely disgusting. And it's everywhere. And when I told my kids about it, because I was doing research and they came in the room and, what are you doing, Mom? So I tell my 8-year-old son what's going on. And the next time we sit down to dinner, he asks me, Mom, was this grown with human poop? And I had to say to him, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm about 99% sure that's true. Sorry. Go ahead and eat your broccoli.
But well, I don't know if people are concerned anyway. Sorry, Mike. I don't know if people don't know about this, so how can anybody be concerned? And I'm glad you're on the show to give us the poop scoops, so to speak. Oh, no, sorry.
Can I ask a question about an article on OccupyCorporatism.com? This one caught my eye. It was a bionic Superman lens promises better than 2020 vision. What are these bionic lenses?
This optometrist created these lenses. It's actually he's trying to market this. He's hoping to get it on the market by 2017. And so he created these lenses that will give you better than 2020 vision. And what happens is they put a it's basically a plastic that they put over your lens. And what it will do is over time our lenses deteriorate and holes, cataracts. We won't be able to see as good. That's why you have to go back every 2 years and if you wear glasses, get your prescription changed. And so that's a degenerative disease that just happens to everyone. There's nothing we can do about that. So these lenses, this guy developed to replace that lens that's deteriorating, and it's non-surgical. You just go in, he puts this little thing in your eye. It takes about 20 minutes, and then you could see a clock from 10 feet away. You could be able to read that. Or even 30 feet away.
Definitely, like, seems like sci-fi, but they're saying, I guess, it's a real thing in development.
Yeah, sci-fi is not necessarily sci-fi anymore. We have technology that allows us to do incredible things. I mean, my grandmother died from heart surgery, and it was an experimental surgery. She had a hole in her heart, and she died on the operating table. But now Dick Cheney has a bionic heart. And so within half of my mother's lifetime and my total lifetime, which would be about 50-some-odd years combined, we've gone from dying on the operating table with an experimental procedure for heart surgery to implanting a robotic device that acts as a heart. That's incredible, the amount of advancements that we've had technologically in just those 50-some-odd years. So think about it. I mean, right now, they have they're working on telomeres, which is a part of your cells, which controls how long you live. And human beings have 23 telomeres. Rats have somewhere between 56 and 64 telomeres, which is why their lifespan is so much shorter. So in order to extend the telomeres, we could have longer life. Now, the problem with that so far has been when they extend the telomeres, they end up causing cancer because that's a byproduct of the extension of the telomeres. They cause cells to propagate and multiply at an exorbitant rate, which causes tumors and causes cancer. That's why they haven't been able to successfully extend anyone's lifespan. But now they have a procedure where they're able to extend the telomeres slightly, and just a slight extension of the telomeres would be the difference between dying at 72 or 76, which is average lifespan now, to dying at 50. Or, no, I'm sorry, 150.
Well.
Yeah.
And so I also scrolled down here on Occupy Corporatism. I'm seeing Google's got self-driving cars unleashing. What's going on here, the self-driving car?
Oh, the self-driving car is the future. I think that by the time my son's generation, the homeland generation, will probably be the last generation to actually drive their own cars. Somewhere in my son's lifetime, we will have complete self-driving cars. They just, they tested a self-driving car from California to New York. It took 9 days for it to drive there, and, there were no hiccups, no accidents. Everything was good. They, 2 weeks ago, they had a semi-truck for truck driving, totally autonomous, self-driving, semi. And it drove from California to, I can't remember what the state was on the East Coast. Again, no problems. So we have, Toyota, we have Nissan, Audi, Mercedes, not just Google, but all of these Ford, all of these companies putting together self-driving technology to, I don't know, make the roads safer. Now, a lot of these companies are experimental, like Google with their self-driving car, and they've actually recorded about 11 accidents with self-driving cars in general in the industry. So the technology is not there where they could release it onto the public and safely have people not driving their cars and get to their destination without dying. Mm-hmm. But it is coming, and I think that probably within the next 15 or 20 years, we might see self-driving cars completely.
Yeah, it seems dangerous just because, or like it'd be a scary thing if you couldn't control, like if you saw an accident was going to happen, you couldn't like stop your car, but maybe they'll have like a fail safe or something.
Yeah, right now they're all installed with a, you can shut off the autopilot basically and take control of the car if you want to.
Oh, so you have that option of doing that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds about right. But nowadays you got Wi-Fi in your car.
Yeah. Well, the black box recorder can record everything in your car, including conversations, where you adjust the seat to, how much you weigh, like when you get into your car, how low your car bounces back and forth. Not only to monitor the shocks, but to tell the black box and black box recorder in your car, what the activity is, how you press down on the brake even to get to a stop. It records everything. So, and that information is siphonable, and it's mostly stored on cloud servers, which means it's completely hackable, because cloud servers, even though they're really popular right now, they really haven't worked out the kinks and the bugs. It's a lot easier to hack into the cloud than you would think, even though the cloud is sold as like, oh, you're not just on one server, you're on 27 servers, so if one goes down or even 10 go down, you're still going to be available. Well, it's not that difficult to hack into multiple servers at a time, especially because these servers are virtual. We've gotten to the point where we think of servers and we see these pictures of these server farms. All of these servers are running on 5% capacity. So you have this huge room with like, you know, 1,000 or more servers for like Google and Facebook and the internet in general. And you think, oh my God, you know, they're only running at 5% capacity. With virtual servers, you could take 50 of those and put it on a virtual server and run it at only 50% capacity and still get the same amount of input and output. And by the way, if you're curious, in 2013, the amount of electricity that was needed in order to service the internet would take about 64 coal plants running at full speed, 24 hours a day. That's a lot of energy.
So, Suzanne, is there an outside source that could control your car, not just maybe you?
Oh, like, yes, there are.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
See, there you go.
Hackers at the Black Hat Conference for several years, and I've reported on this every time they do, they're able to hack into computer-controlled cars, and not just autonomous cars, but just the computers that are in most of our cars today and have been for the last 10 or 15 years. Even driving full speed on a highway at 60 miles an hour, they can pull up next to you and control the brake and the horn, all of the controls in the interior cab of the car. They can cause your car to stall and stop out. And if you're worried about hackers, you should also be worried about GM, because GM put out products that have faulty ignition switches and knew about it. And so these cars are stalling out in the middle of highways and on roads and is killing people, like thousands of people. Mm-hmm.
They're doing that on purpose.
So it's not just hackers.
They're doing that on purpose. I think they're having all these faulty things wrong with their cars. They have an agenda, and that's what they're doing.
I think that they're putting it out too soon. I think that the need for technological advancement and the actual technological advancements that we have, the potentials, the availability of the technology, there's a huge gap between what customers want and what's available. And I think that these companies are not looking at the safety so much as the ability to get an edge in the competitive industry. And they're putting out faulty products with big names like GM. And say, oh, well, you know, we have a fund set up, so if we get sued a couple of times, no big deal. Well, GMM put out this product. They knew that it was faulty before it went in, because at the manufacturer point of before the installation, at the manufacturer, the thing was designed faulty. So when they got the product from the manufacturer, they knew that it was faulty and they still installed it anyway, just to keep that competitive edge, just to keep the products selling on the market and keep the profit margin coming in. And they figured that they would be able to deal with a couple of lawsuits on the other side of that implementation of these faulty ignition switches, but it became too big. You know, we're talking about 6,000 people who have been injured or killed because of these faulty ignition switches so far that we know of.
Yeah, you're right, Suzanne. And a lot of times they'll come out with, we're going to recall cars from 2001 to 2014. But doesn't that tell you that they already knew that there was a problem?
It's always easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Yes, exactly.
And that's true for everything and everyone, seriously.
So with the Wi-Fi that they're putting in cars now, it's a free Wi-Fi, isn't it? Because a lot of places you go, like McDonald's or Tim Hortons, is all free Wi-Fi. And one thing about that, it's so easily hacked because there's no security with it. Not like you do if it's on your phone or whatever. There's no security whatsoever, so anybody can hack into it and take your information.
And then we have another problem with big businesses. Mm-hmm. I did an article a couple of months ago on the banking industry because they're complaining, oh, we're getting hacked all the time. Blah. Well, they don't pay for security services to protect their information and their digital infrastructure. It's very easy. It's a lot easier than you think to hack into JP Morgan Chase than we would assume, because such a big company, we would think that they had security plans or at least a firewall. They don't have any of that. And that's according to the Government Office Accountability. They did a report in 2013. So you can't sit there and complain about getting hacked when you don't try to protect yourself. And that's what's happening. The consumers are assuming that all of these things are put in place, and the corporations that they're trusting are not necessarily putting it in place because it might not be cost effective. That's what we saw with Ebola. We have for-profit healthcare in the United States, and they don't necessarily want to pay to train everybody and buy equipment and keep up the training and the certification, because Ebola is like a one in a million shot. Well, it happened and nobody was trained for it, so people became infected. And that is a systematic problem that goes on in every corporation, not just in healthcare or banking, but all Target. Target doesn't have the kind of security systems to prevent hackers that you would think that they do, considering that they take in a lot of personal data. They have credit card systems. They function as a credit card agency as well, as a corporation selling products, but they don't have these security systems. And, right. And how can you force a private corporation to do something when you're purchasing their product and you're not reading the fine print knowing that they don't have these security systems in place?
Exactly. Well, we don't have Target up here anymore. It's just in your imagination now. It doesn't exist. So now there are certain companies that are actually buying the old buildings up and using them, like Canadian Tire and maybe a few other companies that don't want to they don't want to tear them down, so they just want to use them, and they use the buildings because they're brand new buildings. They only stayed here maybe just for a couple of years, and anyways, that's the end of our show.
Occupy Target.
Occupy Target. Well,
this is
Suzanne
Singer, Occupy
Corporatist.com. Angry Beaver Radio right here. Truth Frequency Radio.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.